The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite to Jericho. And God showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, city of palm trees as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was undimmed and his vigor unabated. People of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord has sent to him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. For all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Speak, O Lord, for your servant listens. Our epistle lesson for today is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house, has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Speak, O Lord, for your servant listens. The gospel is found in the gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. We begin reading at verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. His clothing became dazzling white. Behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. They were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Speak, O Lord, for your servant listens. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text for this morning is based on your gospel lesson for today. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered. His clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. This is our text. What is a Christian? It may sound like a simple question. The answers that are given in our world today to that question are often quite confusing and sometimes have nothing to do with what it really means to be a Christian. For instance, if you were to identify one of the key teachings of the Christian faith, what would that be? On our epistle readings a week or two ago, Paul stated it this way. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in the accordance of Scriptures. What's key to our Christian faith? Well, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was raised again from the dead. But Paul continues on, as again we read just a few weeks ago. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We have even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. What does it mean to be a Christian? If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you're not a Christian, according to the Apostle Paul. You've missed the point of Christ rising from the dead. And if you don't believe Christ was raised from the dead, obviously you can't believe that we will be raised from the dead. That is of the essence of the Christian faith. If you want to understand what the point is of the transfiguration, it was not simply to show us what Christ is going to be like in the resurrection. Why did he bring along Moses and Elijah? It was to show us we also will be in the resurrection. This is of the most fundamental meaning to the identity of what it means to be a Christian. And yet, it is this fundamental element of Christianity that is most under assault. In the world today, even amongst those people who identify as being Christian. Came across a very interesting survey just this last week, and I actually put some of the results in your upcoming newsletter article. It did, if you will, a deeper dive into what people believe who say they're Christian and say they believe in heaven. Now if you say you're a Christian and you say you believe in heaven and even say you believe you're going to go there, you would think that that's somebody that's kind of like you, wouldn't you? But this particular survey didn't stop at those, if you will, kind of surface answers to questions. It dug a little deeper. And it asked people, are you going to have a body in heaven? What's the point of the resurrection if you're not going to have a body in heaven? What is God raising? 60% of those people who say they're Christian, in other words, the majority of people who say they're Christian, who say they believe in heaven, don't think they're going to have bodies. Kind of surprising, isn't it? Especially after listening to the Apostle Paul saying that basically this is the essence of our Christian faith. Then if you don't believe that, your faith is futile. It's in vain. You know, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, not only are we going to have bodies in heaven, but Christ, when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, told his disciples, "And I won't drink of this cup again until I drink it anew with you in the Father's kingdom." We're going to be eating and drinking when we're in heaven. Why? We're going to have bodies in heaven, and that's what people with bodies do. Interestingly, in this same survey, even less people believe that we're going to be eating and drinking when we're in heaven, and that there's going to be food. How many of you are Hawkeye fans here? I know it's a popular song, but it's not necessarily true. That song they play when they score a touchdown, you know, in heaven there is no beer. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. God is going to be drinking wine with us in heaven, as Jesus said at the end of the Lord's Supper, well, there might be beer too. We look forward to being ourselves. That's our hope. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, was gathering with his disciples, you know one of the things he did? He asked them, "Do you guys have anything to eat here?" Thomas didn't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. He didn't witness it at first. He was gone for some reason that first Sunday after the resurrection. "Unless I put my fingers in his hands and unless I put my fist into his side, I'm not going to believe." Jesus shows up. He had a body with him. "Here, Thomas, see my hands? Here, Thomas, put your fist into my side. Stop doubting. Believe." The day of transfiguration is a wonderful day for us. Along with the resurrection, which was, by the way, witnessed, according to scripture, at least at one time by 500 different people who saw Jesus alive with his body. The day of transfiguration is a wonderful day. It does a couple of things. By having Moses and Elijah there, the two greatest prophets of Israel, it confirms the truth of what they taught to us, the Old Testament scriptures, which Jesus said he came to fulfill, of which Jesus said not one iota, that's the smallest letter in consonant in the alphabet of Hebrew. Not one dot, that's, if you will, the smallest vowel in the Hebrew language, will disappear until all has been accomplished. Their appearance there was a signal to us that the Word of God is true and faithful. But Jesus also gave Peter, James, and John this opportunity to see what life is. The life that Jesus died and rose again to give to us. It certainly is a life that is unlike in some ways the life we have here. It's unlike life here because there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more death, there's no more sin. All the things that we hate about life here, the wars we have going on right now, the rumors of wars, famines, the earthquakes, all that's going to be gone. But the things that we love about life, joy, love, having a good meal, friendship, hard work, you know, work's not that bad. Can be joyful. All the things that bring a joy to the human heart, they'll be there. Because we're going to meet men and women. I'm not sure how old we're going to be in heaven. 21, 35. You're probably going to not look 100 years old, I would guess. But there's all kinds of strange ideas that our sin-stained eyes have sprouted concerning what we're going to be. Even little children's books, they talk about us becoming angels and sprouting wings. Not going to happen. If you don't play the harp here, I'm not sure you're going to learn to play it in heaven. But you will be you. Body and a soul. This is what the scripture teaches us. This is our fundamental hope. Strange as it may seem, just by saying you're a Christian, that doesn't mean that that's what you actually know. In fact, if you look at Christian denominations in the world today, and we can point to other Lutherans, Episcopalians, Methodists, all kinds of other church denominations. When you survey the clergy, one-third of many of these denominations that I just listed no longer believe that Christ himself was physically raised from the dead. And strange as it may seem, that if you openly state that, that does not disqualify you from being a pastor or even a bishop in many of those church denominations. No wonder so many lay people no longer have a clear picture of what our hope is. No longer believe what the Apostle Paul said is of first importance. Christ Jesus died for our sins, and he was buried. That, in accordance with scriptures, on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Because he was raised, our faith is in the resurrection of ourselves from the dead. This is the foundation of what we believe, teach, and confess. God grant that we always cling to this clear and certain hope that God has given us in scriptures. But you might want to ask your friends, your neighbors, your own family members. Oh, yeah, they say they're Christian. Yeah, they believe in heaven. They believe they're going to go there. What do they really believe about it? You might be surprised. And in asking, you might have an opportunity to share with them the real faith and hope God offers us in his word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.